Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
Welcome, everyone, to the 45th edition of the Duluth Rundown podcast. As usual, Mike and I are talking about a little bit of the Duluth running scene. Mike, how have you been?
Yeah, really good. I got out for a run today, so all is well.
That sounds perfect. I got out for a run as well. How far did you go?
Roughly 2.7.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, the weather definitely felt nice. Compared to the really sub-zero we've been having.
Yeah, exactly. This weekend was a tough weekend for folks to get out with the weather. Hopefully people got out for a little bit and were, you know, okay with it. Those are kind of our first cold snap of the winter, and sometimes it's hard to know exactly how to dress and how to prepare yourself for it. But today was much, much better.
Yeah, I still don't have dressing, like, down pat. I like, forget so easily. And then it's like even just like 15 degrees and I go outside and I'm cold for the first 5 minutes and then just sweating, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It takes a few tries for sure every year, even though you think you should know it, you kind of mess it up every time.
Yeah, you just have to accept being cold at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, should we get going, Tony, on some recent race results here?
Yeah, let's kind of get this rundown section started.
Great. It's kind of the time of the year where we don't have a ton of races going on, but the excellent Duluth Winter Trail Running Series is providing us with some recent race results, some upcoming races, and it's providing the runners of Duluth with, just a sweet suite of races to chip away at. So we had the Chester Rim 5K on December 18th. And the winners of that race in the male division, Benjamin Welch with a 25:11, Mark Grindy with a 25:26. By the way, Mark is the course record holder for the Chester Rim 5K. And then we had Jeff Miller from Silver Bay, Minnesota with a 25:58. And then on the women's side, we had Tammy Brond from Cushing, Wisconsin with a 29:01. Aurora Cothey from Duluth with a 31:08, and Lisa Byrne with a 31:49 to round out the women's side. So nice work, everyone.
Yeah. And were you there at all for the race, Mike?
I was not there. I don't remember what I was doing, but I missed it.
Yeah, I was out. I don't think I was in town. I can't remember what the weather was like. That was going to be my question to you. I'm not sure what the weather was like for that one.
That's the thing with the winter trails, is it's so hit and miss. I mean, especially December, we could have like heaps of snow or ice, or I mean 40 degrees sometimes, you know, so it's I think big time hit and miss.
Yeah, that definitely plays a factor into how the times are. Remember that that year you did the marathon in Leicester? I think we've talked about that. It was really warm, the snow was really soft.
Yeah, I mean, you almost pray for the cold snap for, mm-hmm. for a race like that. I mean, it makes layering maybe a little more difficult, but or nutrition, you know, that sort of thing. But especially for the 5K, when you have that nice, just solid, cold pack snow, that's about perfect.
Exactly. Yep.
And I think the conditions will look pretty optimal for the next race in the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series, which is the championships, the Northwoods Winter Trail Marathon and Half Marathon Championships, which are this upcoming weekend on January 8th. and that's in Leicester Park in Duluth. And there are four different divisions, a marathon, a half marathon, and you can do it with or without snowshoes.
Yeah, always a fun race. That's one of my, it is probably my favorite park in town. Really enjoy doing this, have enjoyed in the past doing the snowshoe option. I'm not going to this year, I'm just not in that kind of shape. But super fun race. I'm hoping to at least get out there and watch a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like there's plenty of people signed up. So I think it should be a good showing and hopefully some extras in this last week, just because the conditions should be perfect with plenty of snowpack. I think since it snowed, you know, a couple weeks back here, you know, enough time for the trails to set up. And I know it's supposed to be pretty cold this week, but this weekend I think is supposed to be at least above zero. So, I mean, that really, I think, makes for about perfect running conditions.
Yep. Should be fast.
And then since we've moved to more of a monthly podcast format, we do have one other race in the month of January, which is January 22nd, the third race in the Winter Trail Running Series at Spirit Mountain, the Wild Winter Wipeout 5K.
Yep, and that one, again, kind of a zanier race, I think, with that, just bombing that big downhill. I've never done it, but it looks very fun.
Yeah, kind of like what you mentioned, Tony. I don't know if I'm in the shape for for sure not a snowshoe marathon, but I did all of the series 1 year except the Wild Winter Wipeout 5K. So maybe now is my year to go back for that one. I think I could get myself into shape for something like that.
Yeah, so. I think so too.
We'll see. So that's about what we have for upcoming races, although I will add an honorable mention, the Freezer Gizzard Blizzard Run, which is a favorite for local Duluth runners in International Falls, so not really a local race. That race is not going on in person this year. It definitely looks like it's a fully virtual event for the Freezer Gizzard Blizzard Run, which is an annual kind of novelty race almost in International Falls, just because it's so cold every single year.
Yeah. Hopefully they can get back to having that one in person. I know that's a big deal for the folks up there in I Falls to have that whole celebration going on.
Yeah, I wonder, I didn't look too deep into it, but I wonder if the rest of the Icebox Days is going on. It's part of the annual kind of celebration in the town of I Falls there. So
Yeah.
I might want to go, down to Florida or something and do my virtual Freezer Gizzard Blizzard Run.
Yeah, there you go.
Pretty goofy. Yeah. That kind of rounds out, not a ton of races going on, still with the COVID still, somewhat of an issue, and just the time of the year. Little low on races, but if you're looking for something, if you're chomping at the bit, definitely check out the Duluth Winter Trail Running Series. And that's a good segue, Tony, to the trails report. What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree right now the trails are in really, really good condition.
Right.
I've been in Hartley a decent amount lately, and they're pretty good. I've been wearing even road shoes with screws and not even a trail shoe, and been absolutely perfectly fine the whole time. They're really nice right now.
Yeah. I think we should make it a habit as runners to thank fat bikers when we see them, because, boy, don't they just like plow a perfect path?
Yeah. Well, in the Snow Dog, that grooming machine that they utilize works great. And then sometimes, too, on some of the lesser used trails that the Snow Dogs don't go on, the people who snowshoe do a really great job of doing almost the exact same thing that the Snow Dog does in terms of it widens out the path and tends to kind of pack it down relatively uniformly. And that's super nice. And then once it does set up and firm up, whether it's overnight or just within a couple of days, because gravity takes over, then they're super good for running. So, yeah.
And I mean, as much as you can, you know, hate on the cold. Don't get me wrong. I hate on the cold when it's below zero. It's just too much. But it does, I think, so much for the trails to really set them up.
Yep, absolutely.
So get out, prime winter trail running time. If you got the itch, yeah, check out again the winter trail running series. It should be just optimal conditions this week, and or else any of the other trails in town should be in great shape from here on out, it looks like. So moving on, what do you got for all the listeners out there, Tony, with the Coach's Corner this week?
So for Coach's Corner, something that I've been meaning to kind of briefly mention, and I think about it a lot, and I have a lot of people kind of, you know, they ask me a little bit about this, but what I want to make sure people don't do too much is go down what I call comparison road, where you're comparing yourself to others, you're comparing yourself to like elites sometimes, and you're even comparing yourself to your former self, or even, you know, former self, whether it's 20 years ago or even just last year. Try not to do that. Just the best running advice that I think I've ever heard is both literal and metaphorical, and that is run the mile you're in. That it just means be present, be exactly where you are in your training now, and build off of that where you are today. And don't worry about what things were like and how fast you used to be and all that kind of stuff, or even worry about, oh, I want to be this fast, but I'm just not there. Don't worry about that. Just be where you are in this given day. It's good to have goals and have some sort of a carrot out there for you to chase after, but don't pretend that you're already there. You know, when you're doing workouts, do workouts that are at the appropriate speed for where you are now, not at a speed that you hope to get to. You're just asking for trouble if you're doing that, because you're just going to be too fast. But so don't do a lot of comparing. Just accept where you are, keep working, and then where you are just only gets better from there.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I find myself comparing to my former self all the time. And I think why it's that way and not necessarily elites or other local runners or anything is, well, I can't control what other people are doing, you know? And hey, if they want to wake up at 4 a.m., you know, I draw the line somewhere, I guess. But to see, you know, say past performances, past workouts, and especially, I mean, it's so easy to compare. You have no choice to compare with, you know, Strava and social media these days, but also it makes it so easy to look back as well. You know, it's not like flipping through a journal to find old workouts. You know, it's, you pull up your phone and it's boom, right there. Even Strava like puts the comparison out for you sometimes, you know, like past performances or whatever. I think that's just like, with the advent of social media in, you know, exercising, I guess it's so easy to compare, whether it be just, you know, to other runners or yourself. And yeah, I find it just like, oh gosh, you used to work so much harder, Mike, and now what happened to you, that type thing. And it's really hard to get that mentality, you know, off my mind sometimes. So
yeah, there's so many reasons why we can get into that comparison mode, whether it's just age and has kicked in and we're starting to run a little slower, or our life has simply changed dramatically over the last year and we just don't have the time to train anymore. There's a lot of factors, but those are two big ones. And you can't do that. You can't stay in that kind of woe is me mindset. You just have to, you know, accept where you are. And I think with that acceptance, there actually comes a lot of freedom. Once you can let go of that comparison and just accept, this is where I am right now and here's where I'm going to build from. That's actually kind of a nice feeling once you accept it. And, you know, speaking of like Strava, I'm so anti-Strava. I realize everybody does it, but and the reason why I'm anti-Strava is not because I think it provides wrong things necessarily, but I'm anti-Strava because it's 100% unnecessary. It's just simply not needed for your training at all.
Yeah.
You know, but I get that it's fun. It's being able to see what other people do and share all that. That I get that, but it's just not a necessary tool. To help you get better. If that's your goal, to get a little better with your running, Strava, you don't need it.
I think that it's totally right. It is fun. You know, it's fun to engage, fun to see what other people are doing.
Yeah.
I think it's sometimes a useful tool. You know, from time to time, to use those comparisons, especially, you know, for training for a race, it's like, where can I expect to place or finish time wise, you know, because when I did this race 5 years ago, this is what I did. And here's the workouts and all that data is right there. So in that regard, I think it is useful for planning and tracking and stuff, but you could do that with, you know, pen and pad just as easily.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my coach's corner. Try to avoid comparisons and just be where you are.
Yeah. Well, that's really relevant for me right now. So great advice. Next we got Route of the Week, Tony. Where have you been running lately?
Well, yeah, we just kind of alluded to it a little bit ago, you know, a lot of the trails in Hartley, but a lot of times I'll cut through from Vermilion over towards Hartley in that Downer Park area, and those trails back there, they've been there for a long, long time, but recently Cogs has kind of cut a little more sophisticated, I guess you want to say, trail through there, and that's exactly one where it hasn't been groomed. Those trails haven't been groomed by the snow dog, but locals have stomped it down with snowshoes or just enough foot traffic and bike traffic, for that matter, to make it completely runnable. And there's some really cool trails in there. There is one city snowmobile trail that runs through there, but though it doesn't get used that often by snowmobilers, but at least it's a little bit of a wider trail. But otherwise, everything in there is single track. But it's a nice way to cut through from Vermilion to get over to Hartley. I know we always referred to it as the Owatonna Connector, but now I think it has an official name of Downer Park and
Downer
Park Trails or whatever. And it's just a nice little section to get from one park to another.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking for, especially on the east side of Duluth, you know, long run route or what have you, if you like running in Hartley, if you like running in Hawk Ridge, Lester area, I mean, you have to know about Downer because it's just like the connector, you know, for between those two trail systems, and it works so well. And yeah, it's only become more developed, not in a bad way, you know, nice developed, because I do recall, I mean, just even a couple of years ago, it's like, this could be a deer trail used by exclusively deer, perhaps. Who knows, you know, like, but I know, yeah, Cogs has developed it a little bit. And I think for the wintertime, it might be snowshoes. It might be 1,000 neighborhood dogs. Who knows?
But. Yeah, definitely a lot of locals kind of hike back there. And then on the east side of Vermilion, which would be on and connecting to the west side of Jean Duluth, is the Morningside trail system, which more or less it's all the same system from Downer Park to Jean Duluth, but that whole section right there, like you said, if you want to go from Hartley to Hawks Ridge, Amity Creek area, you utilize those trails right through there.
Now I've been lost in there a couple times. I know, you know, you can enter on, I believe it would be the west side from Woodland Avenue, like directly across from Hartley. And then I know there's like several kind of offshoot trails from Vermilion Road, past the cemeteries. But then I've like ran alongside of Amity Creek, I believe, on the west side, you know, towards houses. And then the trail just kind of like gets smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And then I'm in someone's backyard. I remember distinctly trudging through like 2 feet of snow into someone's backyard and bumping out, I think, on Woodland by the shops up there.
Yes.
And just like being so disoriented. So where do you enter and exit from? Because we talk about this as a connector, you know.
That's a great question, because I know exactly what trails you're talking about, because I've done the exact same thing. And there are that's why so many of those trails have just kind of been built or kind of cut in by locals who live out there and walk around out there. There are a lot of those little offshoots that do that. So now it's actually kind of marked a little bit. They call it the Downer Park Trail, and COGS has marked it a little. So it's, and if you go in the wintertime now, that main trail that's going to cut you through to essentially Owatonna Street or Owatonna Street dead ends, that main trail is just, the traffic is heavier. You can just see that, oh, this is the trail that more people utilize.
Yep.
So I go up, if I'm heading north on Vermilion, there's one or two options to get onto that trail. I usually take the second one past the cemetery. There's one immediately after the cemetery on the west. I usually go on the second one that's closer to where the beaver lodges are.
Yeah.
And then I just wind that single track around. Then it kind of connects you briefly to the snowmobile trail. And if you want, you can take that snowmobile trail uphill. I usually take a soft right off of that and back onto the single track. And again, that just goes uphill. The snowmobile trail and that single track that I'm talking about, they parallel each other. And I just continue on. Eventually, I have to sort of double back onto the snowmobile trail. Comes to a little Y intersection, take a right, and then just kind of stay right for a little while, and eventually that main trail just kicks you out into Owatonna. And it's not quite that easy, but there are, because there are a lot of offshoot trails. And,
And then you have to run on the road a little bit to get to the, through to Hartley?
That's exactly right. Yeah, you're going to be on Owatonna Street, and then you take a left on, I forget what it is. I forget the name of it right now, but it goes right by Freiburger Arena, and then you take a quick right onto the new, well, it's not a new trail, it's been there forever, right behind Freiburger Arena, and that kicks you over to Woodland.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a fun little area, a little, little just section of woods in the middle of some neighborhoods, and if you haven't been out there, definitely check it out. It's a great connector to know.
Yep, yep. That Woodland Park NMTC run utilizes those trails.
Oh, yeah, right, right, right.
Yep.
So, speaking of connections in trail routes, I know we were talking about the gear review, which it's, you know, I don't know what the actual piece of gear is, you know, a quarter inch sheet metal screws, but why don't you talk about your gear review?
I feel like it's a yearly thing that I talk about this because I love them so much. But screws in the bottom of your shoes for grip, it works. It's magical. So what I use is a number 8 hex head sheet metal screw, 3/8 inch long, and just drill those directly into the bottom of your shoe, and the head of the shoe bites into either the packed snow or the ice. And it just works great. You can just wear road shoes if you find road shoes to be more comfortable. If you want to put them in trail shoes, put them right into the lugs, and you're not going to feel them, especially as long as your shoe's thick enough. If you have a minimalist shoe, you may not want to, but if you have just a normal standard road shoe, like a Asics Nimbus or something like that, you'll never feel the screw at all. 3/8 inch, it's really not that long. And it just works great. I usually do about 6 or 7 in the forefoot, 4 in the heel, something like that.
Sure.
And I just love it. It works great. And then, you know, eventually some of them will wear down a little bit, especially if you're doing a lot of road running, but you just take them out and put a new one in, and it's that simple. It's dirt cheap, and it's light. You don't even know you have them in there except for the good part where you grip, and it's just a great way to go. I've been doing it for like 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, my biggest suggestion, and you mentioned it, is to screw directly into the lugs or like the most protruding part of the shoe, because you want to have that contact. And also, I mean, you can get strategic with where you put them. I actually noticed a slight difference trying a different configuration. You know, I tend to land kind of on the inside of my big toe and push off with my big toe, and so I kind of focused just one or two on kind of the towards the toe on the inside of my shoes, and that seemed to work really well with just, you know, when you like push off and you slip, just that's like the most frustrating thing if it happens like several times in a row where you just can't get that traction just on that push off.
Yeah.
And to put a couple screws just right in that toe inside toe, just like right where I need that grip. I mean, literally, that's what worked for me. Just literally two screws, and it made like a world of difference. But especially if it's like icy trails, I think to have, like you mentioned, Tony, up to 10, you know, some in the heel to kind of help with the braking if you need, and yeah, all over. Personally, for me, it felt too different to have a bunch, and just like one or two, like, you know, strategically placed really makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great way to go. It's what, you know, a million people did before all the traction devices got so popular. In fact, I first heard about it from, if you know, Matt Carpenter. You know the name Matt Carpenter?
Oh, nah, it doesn't ring a bell.
Well, some of the older runners out there would know Matt Carpenter. He was kind of the United States' Killian Jornet before Killian Jornet. He was definitely the best mountain runner in the country for a long time, and real famous for his Pikes Peak ascent and the Manitou incline, and the guy would just tear up mountains. And he had a website way back in the early website days. That's where I first heard about it.
Cool.
So like I say, you know, a good 15, 20 years that I first heard about it from Matt Carpenter.
And the last thing I guess I'll say, and this might like be like duh for people who've done it before, but I didn't really realize that you screw the screw part into the sole, and so then the head itself is what's exposed. It seems counterintuitive for me. Like, I thought you screwed it from the inside, and then the actual pointy screw part, you know, the tip of the screw, if you will, like went through all the way, you know, and then you had to actually show me, if I remember right, like, no, you screw from the outside, screw it into the shoe. Like, what? Won't it like hit your foot, you know, like just having that sharp tip of the screw, like pointing towards your feet, like kind of freaked me out. But I mean, you can clearly measure, you know, like the amount of foam and the length of the screw. And obviously, the number 8, I believe, denotes the length, right? It's a quarter inch or half? I mean, they're tiny. So
the 3/8 would, that's the length. The number 8, I think, is the size of the head part of the screw.
Okay.
Yeah.
3/8 inch long. Yeah. So, I mean, really short. And
If you put a 2.5 inch screw in there, you will definitely feel that. That'll hurt. Don't do that.
Hoka doesn't make a shoe with that big of a...
Right. If you add some Hokas, you could put in like probably 1.25 inches if you wanted to.
Not recommended.
No. 3/8 will be just fine. Mine, they don't come out. I rarely like have one fall out. It bites into the rub. Sure. The rubber actually holds it in. The rubber of the outsole holds it in as much as the foam midsole does. So, and then if you take it out, it doesn't leave like an actual hole. It just leaves a little mark. The best way I can describe it would be like if you have a pierced ear, but you don't have an earring in at the time.
Right.
That's kind of what it looks like.
Little divot. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, screw shoes are really pretty slick.
Yep.
Well, the last segment I think we have here, Tony, is the shout out section. We have a couple.
We have actually, and I thought of another one too, Mike, while we're going. So you start with your first one.
Okay. Our first one is Michael Coppy. This is very old. And Michael, sorry, so sorry. Two emails that we received from Michael to the email address that we operate for this podcast, which is theduluthrundown@gmail.com. And, you know, maybe Tony, we have to get a little bit better at checking this on a regular basis. So we missed two from Michael. So these are like shout outs from 2021, essentially. Michael, though, I mean, just continues to astound. I think anyone in their right mind is astounded by what Michael's able to do. He finished a fastest known time on the North Country Trail, the Wisconsin segment, earlier this year. That was in June, so pretty neat. But another pretty impressive achievement is called the Race for the Ages. That was in September, where Michael ran 200 miles. 200 miles in this race for first overall. This is kind of an interesting race where it essentially it factors in your age, and the more you run with the age, I don't exactly know how it works, but either way, Michael has won before. His goal this year was to complete 200 miles. The original goal was to run 250 miles, but I mean, one can only imagine what your body's going through at, say, 183 miles. So Michael made 200 miles for first place. So really cool. Thank you, Michael, for letting us know. So sorry it's taken us months and months and months to actually give you a true shout out, but we appreciate it, and cool to see. So that's one shout out. Tony, what was the one that you had?
Yeah, I thought of one while we were doing the rest of our rundown section. A shout out to former podcast guest Matt Welch, who completed his circumnavigation bike ride around the entire United States. Pretty cool journey. So congrats to Matt. Big shout out to him.
Yeah, awesome. Curious to see what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
We have a shout out for a Mr. Joe Girard, a local Duluth runner. Joe emailed us as well with, I think, a really valid point. He mentioned that, you know, we do shout outs for race results, and it's kind of just the top few runners. And Joe acknowledged, which is true, you know, the top runners, they do put in a lot of effort. You know, I mean, you can't just expect to win the series and not, and be a slouch. You know, you have to train, but also you have to show up every single week. But Joe's kind of point was, you know, other people show up every week, and just showing up is pretty important to doing well in the series. And regardless if you're fast or slow, that still takes a lot of commitment. So I think he did make everyone, so that's pretty cool. But also, Joe, gotta tell you, if you're listening, you're gonna love the interview section. We talk about NMTC, and we also talk about you know, being in the middle of the pack. So we think you're gonna like this this interview that we have later on in episode 45 here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joe, for that email. Some really good points, and we'll try to make some adjustments / some improvements to the podcast here in the future. One last big shout out, and just, you know, our hearts go out to Brian Landstrom, and our shout out to Brian and the family. Brian passed away, former podcast guest of ours, and just friend of the local running community. He passed away maybe a weekish ago now. Really sad news. He was just a wonderful guy. There's going to be a hole in the trail world and the ultra world here in Duluth for quite some time.
For sure.
We miss you, Brian. Yeah. And I know a couple of people who later, you know, not after the news had spread, that they went out for a run for Brian. And I kind of did the same thing, thought about him a lot on the run once I heard the news.
Yeah. And I mean, we're, I think, so lucky to have interviewed Brian, you know, and I think this was, last year, who knows? I mean, I think this was unexpected for everyone, you know, to some extent. I mean, it was unexpected, just totally out of the blue, I think, for me. Mm-hmm. And I just was so thankful that we were able to, you know, hear Brian's story and, you know, interview him on this podcast, and at least that part of him, you know, his voice, his story, some of his tales from the running can live on forever and always be, you know, looked back on. So I'm thankful for that, not to toot our own butts or anything, but I just think it's so cool and just so lucky, and I'm thankful that we were able to interview Brian, because he is, I think, anyone who knew him would consider him a friend. You know, he's just had this big smile all the time, and I mean, just so positive, so excited about running, and I mean, obviously that love and that excitement burned hot for many, many years for Brian. So
yeah, absolutely, he will definitely be missed.
And I guess that's wraps up our first section, and in our interview portion, There are a few mentions of Brian as we talk with Dan Proctor, who is a staple in the Duluth running community for decades.
Yeah, so stay tuned, everyone, for that.